My Spirit Radio, radio to open your mind, empower your body, and enrich your soul.
Psychic Cafe Coffee Break is brought to you by Psychic Cafe, www.psychiccafe.org. Psychic Cafe Coffee Break with Kim Arnold.
Hello, I'm Kim Arnold. Welcome to my show. And today my first guest is Suzanne Corby. Hello, Suzanne.
Hiya, Kim.
Suzanne, we're talking this month about power animals, and obviously that's our subject throughout the Psychic Cafe. We've got a couple of brilliant guests this month, Eamon the Shaman, Eamon Brooks, and a lady called Samantha Beaumont, both of them who work with shamanic practices. But I have to say, it's not something that I'm very familiar with, the shamanic way. Do you know much about it?
I do know a little. My background comes from Wicca and pagan traditions, which incorporates power animals or familiar spirits, whatever you want to call them. I mean, mostly nowadays, people associate power animals with either druid or shamanic or Native American practices. But it's pretty endemic in the pagan world that you had power animals either for your tribe, your group, your family, yourself personally. And your power animal can also change through your life. So you can have like one that's constantly there or one that comes and goes at different times of your life. A bit like your spirit guides, really, but in animal form. And they come to teach us different things, and anyone can recognize that. Sometimes you feel drawn to specific animals. That's how it starts. There's a particular animal that you love very much, you feel drawn to. You look out for when you're out if it's a local animal, or you look out for in TV or newspapers, magazines, and it springs to mind a lot for you and seems to have some kind of significance for you. And then once you start concentrating on that and dwelling on that and calling it up in your inner consciousness, it can reveal things to you in dream form or in symbolic form.
So your power animal, do you talk to your power animal in a clairvoyant way and ask for information or ask
absolutely,
for guidance?
Yeah. Absolutely. You have to kind of, like with any relationship, it's got to be a two-way thing. So you've got to actually start the conversation rolling. It may actually come to you. In some cases, I've seen an animal come to a person out of the blue without them calling upon it. They've come to it. They've had a real impact on that person's life. And they're sitting there thinking, what does this mean? Because I know this means something. And then you start that inner dialogue. What does this mean? You dwell on it. You read about the animal, and things start to reveal themselves to you. That's how the dialogue starts to open up. Or it may be an animal that you feel drawn to, and you start the dialogue by thinking about it, by, you know, dwelling on it. Sometimes people leave offerings to their power animal. So if, for example, you feel particularly drawn to, say, a fox or something like that, you might start leaving food out for that power animal and you know, ask it to come to you with messages for you. And then you would start to look out for the messages in the same way that we talked about leaving messages for our angels and things like that. But you're just focusing on a different image and a different consciousness.
And I suppose some people get unusual animals. You know, we talk about the fox or the bear or the eagle, whatever.
Absolutely.
But I'm sure there must be people that sort of end up with a giraffe or a porcupine or whatever and think, you know, well, what is the significance of that?
What's very funny is that people often would like a very powerful animal. They'd like a bear or a something that's a tiger, you know, something very forceful. And then when they're told they have a goose or a duck, you know, or a frog, you know, they're thinking, oh, no, I don't want that. But the whole point of that is to find out what the significance of that animal is and then look at what that is trying to teach you. I know someone that had a moth as an animal, and they loved having the moth because the moth belonged to nighttime and to the moon and had qualities that associated it with the spirit and the psyche. Well, that's a very powerful thing, you know, that your soul is talking to you every time you see a moth. And of course, there are lots of moths around, so you can look out for a lot of messages there. And I know someone who very much wanted a tiger as his power animal, and actually he has had a goose, and that's why I mentioned that, and he was quite disappointed. But actually, when he looked at what the goose represented, it was quite significant to him. I also know somebody else who had a shark as a symbol. That's a very powerful symbol, and that came to them without them going looking for it. And wolf, you know, people, everybody wants a wolf as an animal. Mm. And my particular animal came to me in dream form and has given me the most profound messages in dream form, some of which I've not quite understood at the time. And then 10 years later, I've thought, I understand that now. And then 10 years further on, I've even understood it even more significantly, so that some messages can have layers of meaning as your own consciousness develops.
Well, I'm quite excited today because Samantha Beaumont, who's our guest later, is going to help me find my power animal. So
great.
We'll see what comes up.
What do you
up.
Think it is? Before she says anything, do you have any idea?
Well, what do I think it is? Well, last year when we went on our Psychic Cafe picnic with Eamon, he took us through the shamanic meditation, as you probably remember. When we came out the other side, I was standing on this plinth with rabbits around me, but hundreds of rabbits, not just one, hundreds of rabbits, which I thought was quite interesting. And then I thought, you know, at the time, really to me, showed the chaos in my life and all these little bunnies jumping around. And I thought, that's me jumping around. So it was quite significant. Do you know what, Susan? I have no idea. Although, as I'm talking to you, I get the feeling of flight of maybe a bird, something like that. But we'll see what Sam comes up with. So I'm looking really forward to
it. I think
that.
Also, I mean, we can learn so much from the natural world. You know, in pagan times, they would look at the weather. They would look at the flight of birds, they would look at, you know, how animals ran around to determine how things were going to be able to divine using the natural world. And I think we can look at all sorts of animals and read and understand messages from them just by observing nature. It's
absolutely
a profound lesson for us all.
And I think, just jumping subject slightly, but when the tsunami hit you know, a couple of years back, that what was interesting, 24 hours before, all the animals fled and they went up to the hills. And I remember reading an article where they said that no animals were found dead after the tsunami, which I thought was quite profound, as you say, that the animals obviously detected or sensed something that was about to happen and then sort of went up to safety.
We can learn a lot from them. I mean, we're not that far removed from the animal world. We'd like to think we are, but a lot of our behaviour is instinctive and we think we've forgotten our instincts, but actually we haven't. We just choose to ignore the impact that they have on our lives. And also, I think animals can come to you at different times. I recall a particular time where I needed to really think very carefully and rise above my emotions. And the owl was particularly significant to me at that time. Of course, the owl represents the intellect and the mind and wisdom. And it's the bird of Athene, who springs, is born out of the head of Zeus. So it's very much a mental kind of thing. You know, it's all about the mind, about thinking strategy. And so that came to me at a time when I really needed to rise above my emotions. So animals, you know, the lessons of animals can come to you at different times, as well as having a significant power animal for yourself. And then, I mean, the Native American Indians and shamanic practices would take something of that animal. So if it was a bird, you might look for their feathers and you might incorporate them in your medicine pouch. And that would be a power charm for you, and you would look out for that. And then if that feather flew in through the window, there would be a message there from your power animal or something like that. Likewise, I know someone that had a fox as his power animal, was walking through the woods one day and actually found a fox's skull in a tree.
Oh, God.
You know, and that was quite a significant find for him, and you can imagine that.
Just as you're talking, I just remembered about 2 years ago, a Wiccan friend of mine made me this beautiful talisman out of bird feathers, and I think there were 6 bird feathers, and that's just come to mind. So when I said I sort of feel connected possibly to a bird, I thought I must find that.
Interesting to see. But I do think these, you know, you can connect. Once you've found your power animal, you will actually probably see a string of coincidences that you might have missed in the past that have linked you with that animal, but you've just not been aware of it or not focused on it. And there are great ideas to incorporate that in a magical way to empower your life.
Definitely. Back in March, Psychic Cafe went on retreat to a lovely little place called Oxenhoath in Kent. And I went on an energy workshop. And one of the exercises we did was to bang our chest like a gorilla or a monkey. And the guy said, you know, you do this every morning to energize yourself. And there was about 20 of us in this class all banging our chest. And he said, you know, if you go to a zoo and you see a gorilla, before he swings from the trees or the the ropes or whatever, he will bang his chest to energize himself. And there were so many techniques in that workshop, which obviously were all literally copying the animal. So back to our sort of primal instinct, which is quite interesting. I keep forgetting to do it. I should do that. I keep forgetting. But it's
well, there are lots of decks now as well, power animal decks. I mean, there's the Druid Animal Oracle deck. I found that quite significant. I was working on that a while ago, and the horse came up for me, and the horse had never been a particular symbol for me. But during a period of 3 years, it actually was, and that had first been brought to light through using the Druid Animal Oracle deck. But there are quite a few animal oracles about now.
Oh, definitely. Well, we're going to be using at the Psychic Cafe this month the Power Animal deck by Stephen Farmer, which is a very nice deck, and I have had a good look through it, and there's some very unusual animals there as well, like antelopes and some animals I wasn't even quite sure of. So I think
if you kind of rummage through the deck, cards face down, and you pick, do you just pick one? Yes. And that is your power animal.
Yes. Yeah. We should have brought them into the studio, Suzanne. That
could
would
have
been
a good What do you do with it once you've got that card? Right, so you are told, for example, that your power animal is an antelope. What do you do then?
Well, what we're going to do at the Psychic Cafe is to do a very short meditation on that card and to pull the animal to you and just to ask the message, you know, ask what the message is, what do you need to know, and just to see how the significance of that is. Suzanne, one other thing we must talk about before you go is on Sunday the 5th of August, Psychic Cafe annual picnic. You're such a clever girl because you found for us this wonderful place called the Lost Village of Dode.
Fascinating. Don't you think that just sounds so intriguing?
I've told people already and they're already booking up. So this is our annual picnic. So everyone brings their picnic. Eamon, the lovely shaman, will be joining us. And we'll also have a professional dowser because I understand it's on a very powerful ley line.
It is indeed. It's in a lovely place. I first came across it. It's near a place called Holly Hill. And I used to go there to pick a little bit of holly and ivy for the evergreens at Yule or the winter solstice. And I was always drawn to the place. I always felt there was tremendous energy there. And then I found out that once in a while, they would hold festivals where you could stay over in an old sort of place that used to be used as a church, but the village itself had been wiped out by the plague or the Black Death in the Middle Ages and had been uninhabited since. And so people used to take their sleeping bags and a bit of food and go along, and they had some shelter and would celebrate the different festivals. And indeed, I went to one of those and it was a lovely time. You would sing and drum and make music, make merry and share the time with like-minded souls. So there was great energy about the place. Then I lost track of it for a while, and a friend of mine said that she'd gone to a wedding in there, and she said, you would have loved it. It was great. It was at the Lost Village of Dode, and it didn't ring a bell with me because it never actually had a name, this place. Right. And when I went onto the website, I thought, I know that place. Oh. And I rang them, and they are still using it for significant times, but you can have any kind of wedding ceremony there. And the floor has hay and herbs strewn over it, just as it would have done, and still has the medieval benches there.
I'm looking so forward to it. It's going to be fantastic. If anyone's interested, if they go onto the psychiccafe.org website and go to special events, the details are there. Everybody's is welcome. They can bring their family with them. It's going to be a brilliant day out. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Kim.
Get in touch with my next guest now. So thank you, Suzanne.
Have a good show.
We're going to a short break now. Back in a moment.
Psychic Cafe Coffee Break is brought to you by Psychic Cafe, www.psychiccafe.org.
You're listening to My Spirit Radio.
I do not fear being unhealthy because I know that I control my own body.
Hi, my name is Dave Reevely, and my show is The Holistic Health Show. Let food be your medicine, and medicine your food. So said the ancient Greek physician Hippocrates. Many people, myself included, have proven the absolute truth of those words over the years, and in a way, that's what The Holistic Health Show is partly about, helping you to make a connection between what you eat and drink and the overall effect on your health. The way I see it, this show's all about sharing knowledge, which is why I like to get so many experts on the subject of health and well-being being involved in the show. So far, the list of experts has been impressive. They include Jason Vale, otherwise known as the Juice Master, Jan de Vries, world-renowned author, formerly a regular consultant on the Richard and Judy show, Dr. Wendy Denning from Channel 5's Diet Doctors, and Dr. Doug Graham, lifestyle coach for the rich and famous. Why do I like having these people on my show? Well, it not only gives me the rare opportunity to ask them questions about health, it also gives all you listeners out there the same opportunity. So, for all of you who are interested in improving or maintaining health and well-being, as well as expanding your knowledge of nutrition, then tune into the Holistic Health Show with me, Dave Reevely, only on My Spirit Radio.